This happens not only in Burma. It happens in Malaya. It happens with the Chinese in Siam. It happens everywhere else. And so, because we were deprived, we become very peeved about it, and then it breaks out in racialism. And then we have what we call minority races. For example, a country like Burma has 8 to 10 major races, pretty homogeneous in their characteristics. Everybody coming from the Mongolian Tibeto-Burman race, and with deep kinship with each other, both in religious as well as in cultural matters. But even among such a homogeneous group, there are different racial characteristics, and minor races are beginning to look for their identity. And that is another problem that we have to face. How are we going to square out an equation where unity will still be strengthened through diversity? And so in trying to find ourselves again after we've lost ourselves for the last 80 or 90 years, the attempt to express nationalism, to express that search for ourselves, comes through a revitalization of old concepts, of old traditions, and old institutions. Sometimes we even try to intellectualize little superstitions that we've had through the years, just because that is something that belongs to us, basically. Connecting this with the moral justice that we searched for earlier, which we find in the traditional religion, there is attempt to syncretize all religions and say moral concepts are the same, and therefore all religions could be the same, so long as it gives you enough of morality. On the other hand, some of our intellectuals, most of our intellectuals, go in for scientific rationalism, and in trying to build institutions scientifically, in trying to go through scientific research, in trying to be very scientific, they get to the extreme of scientism and then find no use for religion, which is founded largely on faith. I can never talk about politics without saying what I feel as a Christian. Because if we look at the situation honestly in the face in Southeast Asia, we will have to admit that the Western culture that had infiltrated into our country, that the Western culture that we have absorbed either willingly or reluctantly is founded on Christianity. Maybe you will contend with me on that point, because you are able to make a better clarification between culture and religion. But call it naivety or call it whatever you like, I still hold the concept that Western culture has a great deal of its roots. And before it has become secularized, it has its roots in Christianity. And so, again, what do I see in our politics as a Christian? I see on one hand so many values, socialistic values, which recognize that there is no more place for absolute monarchs. There's no more place for fathers of our people. There is no more place for our own people to exploit our own people because of this moral descent that people as a whole are putting up. But at the same time, I also see that alongside the socialist journey, unless there is some truth as a criteria, if those values are going to rest only on our morals, I don't know how we are going to face the future. So, as a Christian, I see that there must be a creative tension between the socialistic values of politics for the people, by the people. Well, you know that much better than I do, whether you practice it or not. must be accountable to a transcendental authority which transcends all morals, all racial differences. And I find another thing. There is such a thing as charity, which is very essential in practicing power or justice. Power alone is not enough. Power alone, if it rests just in power, can be very dangerous. And history has shown us that power alone could be very destructive. Justice, as I've said before, if not measured by righteousness, could be just human justice. And so with power and justice, I also see charity. If we don't have charity, we will not be able to have that tension between the truth and our values. If we don't have that charity, we will not be able to practice social democracy, social liberal democracy, where we have a place for everybody in the scheme of our government. If we do not have charity, there has been so many upheavals taken place within our recent history that if you go on meeting out punishment, it will never end. Retaliation can go on, retribution can go on, even though there is a thing as justice. If there is justice founded on charity, then we will have something to go forward with. We won't be so crippled with the past. And so today, we are challenged with a number of things in our political scene. First of all, education for our people. We must be able to educate each one of our citizens so that they will feel responsible for the country to which they belong. We must be able to assure them that their country do belong to them. We must be able to stabilize our government with the help of those people who are assured that the country belongs to them, and so it is their responsibility, so that we will be able to lead happy, peaceful lives. I am not here today to say that we are defending ourselves against communism as such, because I am not here today to talk about power, even though power is a very real thing. But I'm here to say that countries in Southeast Asia, in the international sphere, have full confidence in the United Nations ID. They fully recognize the fact that two major powers, the communist Soviet power on one hand, and the American capitalistic power on the other hand, are there in the world today. But we faithfully believe that there could be a third way, a third force within the United Nations, which would bring balance to world politics. A third party. And I don't know, we do not claim to have the absolute truth in politics, but a third party which can balance situations so that you'll be able to see things more clearly when you line them up against the criteria of the SLU.